So I love this portion of scripture today. It's close to my heart, and I want to share it with you. And so let's get into the Word of God. Anybody ready? Luke 24, the only one of the gospel writers that wrote this story, the only one. And so, behold, two of them were traveling the same day. Of them, let me just say who of them. Two of those who believers in Jesus. Two of the followers of Jesus. Are you with me? These are not two lost people. These are not two people who never heard. These two people who've heard and seen Jesus while he was alive and walking on the earth. So on the same day, to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together all these things which had happened. What things? Well, all kinds of things. It is the Passion Week that happened just last week, from the triumphal entry, all through the trials in the court, and all through the betrayal, prayer in the garden, betrayal by Judas with a kiss, and all the things that happened as the cross and then the burial, and now a very, very special thing. So verse 15, so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, how many like that? Not an angel, not Pastor Ron, Jesus himself. How many know Jesus himself is in the building today? Jesus himself drew near and went with him. I want to stop right there just to tell you, I kind of picture the dialogue, the narrative, the story, as these two are walking, their faces down, they're sad. We'll see that in just a little bit. And their hope is gone. Their dreams have crushed. Messiah's dead. That's the setting. And Jesus, I don't know if he just popped in. Caprice! That's what Ellie says. Caprice! That's what she used to say. Wait till you get grandkids and you can have as much fun as we do, okay? Jesus, I think, kind of lags back behind them. This is just my interpretation. And they are talking about these things on the road, on the way home. And it's Sunday. I said it's Sunday. It's the third day. And they're depressed and despair and hopeless. And Jesus looked at, and he's listening in. Jesus is eavesdropping. He's listening. And he hears them talking. And that, I just wanted to get there. I just wanted you to get there. Are you there? And there he is. Boom, he shows up. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk in or sad? That means he heard it. I mean, understand, he heard what they were saying. And he said, why are y'all walking and talking? What are you talking about? Like he didn't know. And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you from another planet? Are you the only stranger that's in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened there in these last few days? Kidding me. And he said to them, don't you love this? It's a question. It's from Jesus. What things? What things? It's kind of like when God found Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes and said, where are you, Adam? As if God didn't know where he was. How many know God knows exactly where Adam was? And Jesus exactly knows what they're talking about, but he's always good at asking a question to get a response. Jesus is the master communicator. So what things? So they say to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They're about to teach Jesus about Jesus. The things concerning Jesus, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him to condemned him to death and to be crucified. But we were hoping. I mean, all we have is hope. This will tell you where these boys were. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We thought he's the Messiah. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early this morning astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. So now it's a vision. Mary and the Marys went down to the tomb early. They didn't say it was a vision. They saw him. Rabbi Adonai, right? It's me, Mary. Jesus said, it's me. It was him. He was alive. But they said it was a vision. And certain others of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. Speaking of Peter and John when they ran to the tomb. Verse 25, he said to them, oh, foolish ones. It's pretty harsh, but it's not like a rebuke. It's not condescending. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he's saying, hey, you're the nation of Israel. Don't you know, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken you? Have you not heard? Has your eyes not seen? Has your ears not heard? Come on, what's going on here? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? Isn't this what they said would happen? And Jesus is talking to them. I love it. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus has a Bible study on the road. You preach it your way. I love my way. He begins to expound to them in the scriptures, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So Jesus is having a Bible study about himself. He himself is having a Bible study about himself. The living word is teaching the written word about the living word. It's just blowing my mind here. You just rest and let me have a good time. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. So they're on the road to Emmaus. They're coming. The 7 miles must have took an hour and a half, maybe two, depends on the pace. And so now they're coming to the exit. The exit, Emmaus. Never mind. Probably a fork in the road right there. They can go, you know, right there. And Jesus, the Bible says, he was indicating that he would have gone a little further. But they constrained him. How many know somebody today needs to constrain Jesus? Somebody needs to get a hold of Jesus and say, hey, abide with us, for it is forward. It's toward evening. It's so close to nighttime. The day is far spent. And he went to stay with them. Powerful. Came to pass as he sat. Where? Say it with me, those three words. At the table. Where? That's the series. A lot of things happen at the table. This evening, you'll be at the table. At lunch, you'll be at the table. A lot of things can happen at the table. But Jesus being the guest, look what happens. It kind of switcheroo here. He took the bread. How many know the host usually takes the bread? But how many know Jesus is now alive and he's large and he's in charge? He takes the bread and he breaks it. He blesses it. He breaks it. He gives it to them. And when he did, verse 31 says, their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. That's why I gave you the magnifying glass, that God would be magnified in your life today. Before you leave this service, Jesus ought to be the most real thing in your life. Their eyes were open and they knew him, not just knew about him. They knew him. And as soon as that happened, he vanished out of their sight. Not over yet. There he is. Oh, let me take another look at him. Hey, just them. It's two guys. I don't know. It could have been Cleopas and his wife. Doesn't mention the other person. But here in this picture, it's two guys with Jesus. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And so they rose up that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. That very hour, it's nighttime. That very hour. And they found the 11 and those who were with them, and they gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Say it with me. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. That is probably Peter and John and Mary and all them, or whoever else. Simon could be a million people because everybody's name was Simon and Jesus. And they told him about things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This is what moved me to teach this series. It's at the table. It's at the intimate relationship at the table. It's at the personal one-on-one time with Jesus that he reveals. And Jesus is so awesome. He concerns himself about the crowds and the multitudes. He fed all of them. Remember the 5,000? He fed all of them, but their eyes wasn't open. They just wanted some fish and bread. But boy, when he sits at the table, when you get one-on-one with the Lord, how many know he knows how to have a vision for the ones? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you feel like you're away from God, you get at a personal place, an altar with God, just you and Jesus, how many know he will open the scriptures to you, he'll open himself to you, and you'll get so excited that he'll open your mouth and you'll run all the way back to Jerusalem. Open my eyes, Lord. Make my heart burn inside. There's something about being with Jesus. Can somebody say amen? And so you see the setting here. It's there. I walked you through the text. But as they drew near, they were talking. They were on their way home. They were talking, conversing. And Jesus was explaining the scriptures to them. There's a whole lot here. And we're not going to be able to unpack it in just 20 minutes here. But their demeanor was just revealed in this text because it was crushing. Their hopes were crushed. Messiah's gone. Listen, if Jesus is dead, you and I are hopeless as well. But how many know today we are 2,000 years a little later, and our eyes have been magnified a little bit more. We have the verses of Scripture. We have Christianity alive 2,000 years later. And how many here believe that Jesus Christ is alive and well? And therefore, you have hope. But in this situation, and many times we find ourselves in the journey of life, that it brings hardship and pain and losses and real life. And sometimes those real life tragedies or hardships or crisis or grief can blur your vision, can hinder you, restrict you, restrain you. For some reason or another, they couldn't see who he was as he walked up. Then he got real close and said, hey, guys, what are y'all talking about? And I don't know, maybe it's because their heads on the ground looking down. Maybe they didn't look at him. Obviously, they didn't see the scars in his hands. But later we'll see how God reveals himself to them. They're hopeless, feeling dismissing the whole thing. If Jesus is dead, then the whole thing is hopeless. And Paul said, if Jesus be not raised from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, then I'm a liar and I spent my whole life lying to everybody. But he said, Jesus Christ is alive. Therefore, there's hope. Hope for the hopeless. Messiah Jesus is dead. Their hope is misplaced and their trust is in the promises. The promise they had, but the presence they didn't recognize. I said they had the promise, but couldn't recognize the presence. The promise was in their midst, and they didn't see it. And so I'm glad Jesus meets us on our journey to help us, give us perspective. Amen? I said he said he would come, and he would be with us. But their eyes were restrained. They believe in the promise, but Jesus was about to meet them in the process. It's one thing to believe the promise. It's another to know that Jesus meets you in the process. It's in the life. In life, when you're going through real hard things, when you can't seem to focus, you need to be looking through a magnifying glass. You need to bring Jesus into focus. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying here? What happens is we try to make Jesus fit into our box, into our bringing, our upbringing, our theology, our religious mindsets, our frame of reference, our margins. Lord, if you want to get into my understanding of who you are, then I can serve you. But how many know God's too big to fit in your little box? And so our preconceived ideas about truth and who he really is, sometimes the issue isn't the revealing, it's in the receiving. God, I believe, wants to reveal himself to you. Jesus wants to come to you. In fact, I believe he's following you. I believe he's looking for you. I believe he's searching for you. We always say, I'm glad for the day that I found Christ, but I got to submit to you this morning. I think it's more like Christ found me, because I really didn't even know where to begin to search. And that's why Jesus gave them the magnifying glasses that day. And they're full of doubt, discouragement, despair. And they had no hope. And so I'm sure the religious leaders that day in Jerusalem were kind of relieved. Whew. This troublemaker, this Galilean, this Messiah, so to speak, is gone. He's dead. And they're kind of relieved. Pilate's relieved to wash his hands of all of this. The high priests and all the leaders, they are, get that guy out of the temple. He's tearing things over. He's tearing things up. How many know Jesus didn't come to make friends or enemies, come to make disciples? He came to bring gospel truth. He came to bring salvation to you and to me. And if he's still in the grave, then we have no hope. But he's alive. Amen. I hate to harp on it, but it is today that we should. So they try to give him their story. Jesus says in verse 19, what are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? I'm alive. I'm right here. If you could only see me now. I'm no longer on the cross. I am wearing the victor's crown. I'm the king. I am the one David talked about. I'm the one. I am the one. And so they said, you don't know what's going on? Where have you been? You know, and they begin to talk to him about everything that happened. At least they're trying to put him in their story. But it's the third day, and they go into all of that, and their hopes were crushed, and they were blinded by their story without the end. Truly, they didn't have the perspective we have today. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? So don't be too critical of these two. They didn't really see because they didn't have what we have today. Aren't you glad for the gospel and the word of God? Now, what the word of God they did have, right, was the Old Testament. New Testament had not yet been written. Jesus is the living word right with them, right? So he promised to rise on the third day. And what day is it? It's the third day. And they're so overwhelmed and full of doubt and misunderstanding that it made it impossible for them to see the living Savior. When you're mourning for a dead Savior, it's hard to see a living Savior. And so verse 12, the women said, they witnessed the angel. The angel announced he's alive. Verse 23, the two, Peter and John, said the grave was empty. So why shut God out? Take off the blinders. And Jesus is about to do that. He's about to help them. Why are you so sad? Why so downcast? Why didn't you believe Mary? Why didn't you believe Peter and John? Why would you rather believe the negative than the positive? I told you that they would kill me, but on 3 days I would raise them. Why didn't you believe me? Oh, you foolish ones and doubting. That's what he says. But their grief blocked their glory. And so, have you ever tried to encourage somebody who was resisting comfort? That's kind of where they were. And they twist your words. They hear everything through the voice of their bad news. And they see all through the lens of gloom and doom. And even Jesus in their midst couldn't change their perspective at the moment, but they can't recognize the truth that's standing before them. But the second thing I see is that on this road, the road to pain and struggle becomes the road for teaching and preaching, for conversation. If it's conflicting in their minds, now it's conversing in their ears. I mean, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the Bible says Jesus said, hey, you mind if I walk with you a little while? And he converses with them, the scriptures. He opens up the scriptures. Hey, before he opens their eyes, he opens up the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the living God. So the thing I see he's doing now is he gives a strong response, you know, and he says they prophesied, but you didn't hear it. And then, he realizes they didn't lack evidence. They lacked hope. And when things don't turn out as you expect it, then you admit to defeat. God's word, how many know God's word can illuminate? How many believe in God's word? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many know you read God's word, it'll introduce you to Jesus. I said the word of God from the beginning to the end has one focal point. Magnify Jesus. It's a crimson stream of blood, amen, all the way through. And so when you have yourself a miracle, listen, the miracle's about to take place. But they were in denial. They couldn't understand. But let me just tell you something today. There's a miracle in the house. How many believe there's a miracle in this house today? Somebody could give their heart to Jesus on Easter Sunday. Somebody could get healed. Somebody could get delivered. Somebody could get a miracle. Anybody believe that? Aren't they, don't they call us believers? Call us believers because we believe. right? But when the unexplainable becomes the undeniable, how many know you got yourself a miracle? Can't explain everything. They're limited. They're limited. So Jesus, the resurrected Christ, goes beyond their capacity of faith. He tries to help them. And at the moment, they're having a hard time. But he gives them a detailed Bible study about himself. Just because they knew about Jesus didn't mean they really knew Jesus. And many people today are the same way. I knew about Jesus. I was even a little altar boy. I rang the bells. Bring, do this in remembrance of me. I didn't even know who I was ringing the bell for. Half the people in the congregation didn't know what I was ringing the bell for. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you went to Christ. You can have a head knowledge. I saw him on the cross, and I heard the story. I went to church, but I didn't know him. I said there's a big, big difference between knowing him mentally and knowing him personally. In my heart, there lives a real living Jesus. And my goal is to magnify him. And so that's what he was trying to do, communicate the gospel through the Old Testament. And many people, many believers today, don't even understand that this book, Jesus, is all over the Old Testament. He was pre-existed Jesus. So I don't know where he started. It says Moses, from Moses on through the prophets. But Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So where did Jesus start? Doesn't that just, that just gets me excited. Wouldn't you love to have a Bible study with Jesus? Oh, I would give everything I had to have a Bible study with Jesus. Yeah, of course. Who knows more about Jesus than Jesus? Sometimes people talk about me, and they talk about me because they heard information from someone else about me. They don't really know me. They know what somebody else said about me. If you knew me, you would love me. Oh, man, y'all don't believe me, but it's true. I don't know if he started in pre-existent or if he started in Genesis 3, where the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head. I don't know where he started, but how many know this must have been some kind of a story that God made us in his image. He was there with God in the beginning and said, hey guys, listen, I didn't just get here yesterday. I didn't just come here 33 and a half years ago. I was there in the beginning with God. Remember what John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It wasn't a God. There's only one God, and it's him. I was in the beginning, and God and me and the Holy Spirit and God created you in our image. And we walk with you, and we talk with you in the garden, and then one day, is that where he started? I don't know where he started, but how many know that'd be a good place to start? Where did sin come from? Disobedience. Sin is separating you from God. It's a wonderful relationship. God had a plan. But how many glad he had a real plan? Because he knew Adam and Eve wouldn't fulfill the plan. And so he was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. I don't know if Jesus started there or if he got, you know, onto Abraham, made a covenant with Abraham. From your seed, Abraham. Wow, Father Abraham was big in the Jewish culture, right? Big. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Jacob. Yeah, generationally. These are people, followers of God, God-fearing people. Joseph, did he take some time to talk about Joseph, who's so much a type of Christ in the Old Testament? Joseph is, I mean, his life just across the board could be a good type, symbol of the one to come. The heavenly deliverer. Joseph was Israel's deliverer. Jesus is our heavenly deliverer. Deliverer of all people for all time. I don't know, did he get to David? How many thinks he got to David? Hey, if you're talking to a Jewish culture, you know you got to get to David. And they really thought David was the king of kings. And all the prophecies. How about Isaiah? You think he mentioned Isaiah 53? Come on. How about the Savior who's coming? Who's going to die on a cross? He was wounded for our transgressions. You don't think Jesus told these two boys that? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. I don't know. Anybody feel faith rising up in the house now? Having a Bible study with Jesus? I mean, I don't even have time to tell you, maybe verse 7, that he was open and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. Like sheep, he was silent before his shearers. He was silent. Certainly must have mentioned Zechariah 12:10. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me, whom they pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. He told him who he was. He's explaining who he is through the scripture. Can I tell you, this is the word of life. Jesus is the living word. That's why when Lazarus died, they just said, Mary to Mary and Martha, hey, don't worry about it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets to God the Father except through me. And he's telling the whole story of which I don't have time to tell you today. But you know, he mentioned all of this stuff, mentioned his virgin birth. He mentioned Zechariah coming in on a lowly donkey. And these boys just saw it all happen. It just all unfolded. So if you're looking at this as a drama, Act 1 was that they were just discouraged. Act 2 is a dialogue. He's explaining to them all through the Bible about who's walking with them. And still did not know. They still did not know. Are you with me? But Act 3 is my favorite. They get to the fork in the road, and they get to probably Cleopas' house. That's what I'm assuming. They go in for the night. Have you ever been in an altar or in the presence of the Lord where you didn't want to leave? Have you ever been in a Bible study or with somebody and you're breaking the scriptures and things and God's anointing is moving? Have you ever been in church where you didn't want to leave? Because I know you have, because I, as a pastor, have to blink the lights on and off to get you out of here. But I think those are great services, don't you? I'd rather have to blink the lights to get the people out than to turn on the lights and the people don't come. But boy, when you're talking about Jesus, when the word, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And he drew near to them and he started talking to them. Man, did you know you can have access to talk to Jesus? I don't have access. I don't have the red phone. I can't call Mr. Trump. Not sure I want to. Freddie will say, you're fired. I don't care to talk to President, but I don't have access, even if I wanted to. I don't even think I can talk to the mayor today. But anytime I want, at any moment, I can lift my eyes and look to the Lord and say, Father, I can open up his word and he'll speak to me. I can get on my knees and he'll speak to me. I can call on his name, Jeremiah said, and he will answer me. And it builds my faith, and that's why it's important to believe all of the scriptures. It's amazing to me, because when you're hungry, Luke 16:31, if they didn't listen to Moses, Jesus might have said to these boys, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not even be persuaded if somebody rises from the dead. I don't know if you mentioned that scripture, but here's two that don't even know. Can I just tell you about the Word of God this morning? If it is untrustworthy at any point in this book, then it will be untrustworthy at all points. If there's anything in here that is untrustworthy, then you and I are in real big trouble. But I came to tell you, this is the Word of the living God. And every part of it is inspired of God. I mean, God, by the Holy Spirit, wrote this book. And he opens it to those. He magnifies your eyes. He opens your eyes and reveals the truth of this book to us if we will receive it. It's either truth or Jesus is an imposter. I say he's the truth, and the word will build your faith. Amen? And that's why Jesus taught them. Now they came to the turnoff, and he goes in. They said, please stay with us. Verse 41 through 43. Would have traveled on, but they were hungry to hear more. So he stayed with them, And as they broke bread and had fellowship at the table, he opens their eyes, for he is the living word. And as soon as their eyes had opened, I don't know how you see this, but I'll just tell you how I see it. Brent and Bonnie, it's good to see you. I love to preach when Bonnie and Brent are here. They love the word. They just, this is the way I see it. Jesus becomes host instead of guest. Because now he has a different relationship with Cleopas than he had just a day or two earlier. I mean, now he's the risen Savior. Before he was a friend, now he's the risen Savior. He's in charge. He has authority. So he takes authority in his home. He takes the bread. Sit down, boys. I got this. Takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it. And this is where I think that transition happened. He hands the bread to them, Matthew. And I imagine, Jim, they saw something on his scar, on his hand. Could this be? Is it possible that this is the Messiah? Like when Andrew found Jesus. Eureka! I found the Messiah! Hey, if you really understand what I'm saying, you would be excited too. It reminds me of the lady at the well of Samaria when Jesus talked with her. And so she finally gives, drinks the living water, right? Drinks the living water. Her eyes are open, so to speak. And she runs into town. She's the greatest evangelist in the New Testament. And she tells everybody, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is this Messiah? What she's saying is, this is Messiah. She believed it. And the text, I wanted to read the text of John 4 because it's so powerful. Many Samaritans in the city, verse 39, many Samaritans in the city believed on Jesus because of this woman's testimony. Verse 40, so when they came to him, to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them. Isn't that something? Just like our text today. And he stayed there 2 days, verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. First, they believed because of the Samaritan woman told them. But now they met Jesus personally, and now they believe because they spoke to him themselves. That's what we want here. If you're new to Oak Grove, if you're new to Christianity, if you're new in your faith, we want to talk to you about Jesus. He's the reason we celebrate. He's the reason we're here. The reason the pulpit is in the middle of this platform and I'm standing here is because I'm declaring the written word about the living word. How many know he's the reason? But boy, if you could ever get this yourself, where you can find an altar or a quiet place and listen to him talk to you personally and receive what he has to say, then you will know him, not just intellectually. Verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said only, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Woo-hoo! That's what's happening here. And that's what happens, folks, when you encounter Jesus. So I want Chrissy and them to come back to the platform. I'm going to give you an Easter gift and let you out 5 minutes early. Don't get excited. It ain't going to happen next week. Easter's over. That's what happened right here. When they encountered Jesus, their eyes were open and they knew him, and then he took off. The Bible says he vanished. Can you imagine having dinner, Max, with Jesus, and he'd break the bread? Thank you, Jesus. Oh! Where's Jesus? Gone. But did the story end there? No, not hardly. He took off, and so did they. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked on the way and as he opened the word to us and as he broke the bread to us? What was the result of their eyes being opened? He opened also their mouth. And they took off that very hour. The Bible says they took off at that very hour. Now it's nighttime. They're going back to an hour and a half, maybe a little faster even, so an hour. And it's dark. And it's dangerous, but nothing's going to stop them from declaring that they met the risen Savior, Jesus, the Savior of the world.
They ate at the table, and that's how they knew him. The Lord is risen indeed. Look what he said in verse 33. They rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and others gathered together, saying, totally different than they were before they met Jesus. The Lord is risen indeed, and he appeared to Mary and Peter and John, and he appeared to us too on the road to Emmaus. Isn't that an incredible story, folks? How exciting when you encounter Jesus for real. There's always a response. Go tell the good news. Let him open your eyes. Let him open your heart. Let him open your mouth. Let your feet take you to your friends and your neighbors. Tell somebody somewhere that he's alive again. Amen. The stone's been rolled away. He's no longer in the grave. When he got to Luke 24 and they gathered, the very next verse from 35 ends our story. 36 starts another one. Jesus enters there where the disciples are, and they are full of fear, full of doubt, full of discouragement, just like the two on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says that he came in, and the first thing he said was, peace be with you. Shalom. Shalom. Then he said, hey, guys, you have any food? I'm hungry. So they gave him some food, and he ate it. He ate it in their presence. Again, he's at the table. I want to just give you this to go home on today. Slow down and get in the presence of God. It's not how fast you can read your Bible in a year. It's when you sit down with the Word of God, talk to Jesus. How many know he is accessible? Now, don't be fooled by a lot of preachers and religious leaders who are untouchable and unapproachable, too high and mighty to have time with the little people. How many know that wasn't Jesus? You can talk to Jesus anytime, anywhere. Aren't you glad about that, folks? And he opened the eyes of their understanding, verse 45, that they might know. And when he sends them to preach, he sends them to preach to all the nations of the world the good news. Praise the Lord. Do you see the gradual yet intentional process of revealing himself? Stand with me this morning. That's what I want to leave with you. He touches them emotionally. He moved them in their hearts. He touched them mentally, intellectually, in their heads. And once they got it, it moved to their feet. Their demeanor changed. They walked head high all the way back to Jerusalem, excited about their future. They went and told everybody. What a story. How many believe Jesus Christ is the resurrected Christ? Anybody here? Just one? How many here believe Jesus Christ is a resurrected Christ? In other words, he's alive today. Yeah. He's not tucked away in a book. On a shelf. He's not tucked away in a church, in a closet. He's alive. And the Bible says if you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you shall be saved. The problem is not in him revealing himself to you. The problem is you receiving him. So I want you to bow your hearts and bow your heads and close your eyes. Jesus always meets us on our road to crushing. These two, he didn't go meet them in the temple or in the synagogue or in the church. They were on the road of life. Then he divinely intervened. He caught them, caught up with them where they were. I don't know where you are this morning, but if you're running in a hopeless situation, Jesus will catch up with you. And then he sees them in their time of distress and loss. He meets them on the road. He converses with them. He disciples them. He teaches them. So all the way through the book, Jesus, Jesus. Who is he? What's he all about? What did he do? He comes to us in our situation. He came to bring us revelation. And finally, he come to us by invitation. Stay with us, please, Jesus. Don't leave us. Do you have that kind of a hunger for more of the Lord? Are you hungry for more of his word? Are you hungry today for God to speak to you? I leave you with that thought today. Do you know Jesus? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hear my voice, open up the door and I will come into you and reveal myself to you. And when you magnify Jesus, see him for who he really is, you will go tell the whole world.